WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Oh my God, we're already off.
Hot start.
Wow, guys.
Brain aneurysm off the bat.
Oh my God, that was awful. But hello, you are listening to the student section NFL on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. My name is Jalen Brooks. I'm your host for tonight, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Tanner Thompson.
What up?
And Connor Rolls.
Hello.
All right, how are you guys doing tonight? I feel like we're feeling pretty good, pretty amped.
I'm doing very swell.
All right, you know what?
Wow.
I'm flustered right now. You kind of stole my line.
What do you have
malfunctioning.
To say?
You didn't see that.
Do you have any adjective about yourself other than the word swell?
I got to think right now. No, I'm doing quite swell. But the only problem is I'm kind of a little worried because game seven.
Oh, my God.
Game seven, the Phillies are tonight. And
I timed that. I think we got 30 seconds into the show before the Phillies were brought up.
Well, they had to be brought up. Game seven.
It's a big deal. Winner goes to the World Series, losers go home. So,
I can say for most people, they're just excited it's not going to be Astros and Phillies again because Astros were just.
I think people are excited it's not going to be Astros in it.
Yeah, good point. I mean, it's also just cool to see the Rangers do what they did.
For sure.
But in the meantime, we're talking about the fighting Phils.
The fightins.
Please don't.
You're screaming like it's still the game going on.
We're talking about the fightins here. The fightins. Said.
There is no reason to play that. What are we doing?
Are you
here?
Sure? I mean, I kind of want to hear it.
You know.
We haven't mentioned football once, and we are probably
We did say that.
What?
It is a football show.
Oh my gosh!
But we have to mention the lines are being blurred in Game Seven.
The lines are being blurred. We're losing track of what the
show is. Right.
You know what? We're not going to talk about the Phillies. How about the Eagles?
Yeah, let's go to another Phillies.
I can get on. It's still my point stands, but I can still get on. I can still get on with it.
A little bit more on board.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know we have no Evan here tonight. Unfortunately, there are Dolphins.
He's kind of ducking smoke right now.
That is brutal. He was
talking a lot of smack last week, but apparently he's out sick today. So
quote unquote sick.
Yeah, but we're hoping he gets better. And why don't you step in for Evan today as the Dolphins fan.
Be the Dolphins advocate.
Yeah, and sure. While we talk about the Eagles versus the Dolphins game, a lot of things to talk about. One of the things I just want to start off saying is the first drive was absolutely terrible.
The first drive was great until the red zone.
Yeah.
That's what we should clear up.
Yeah. But, I mean, pretty much for the rest of the game, the red zone didn't seem to be that much of an issue. But, like, just to start the game, first drive, red zone – 3rd and 9, you're calling a QB sneak. I think we were all a little bit caught off guard.
QB sneak?
I mean QB run.
So
QB
okay.
I honestly don't. After looking at it, I looked back at it, and it looked like there was a play designed. And if we get the I don't say bird eye view, but the view behind the quarterback.
All 22?
All 22. There was a kind of a gap. What we usually do for the QB.
Yeah, the RPO. Like a little RPO action.
No, it's just like there's nobody in the box. It's just the lineman, and then everyone spread out wide.
So it's a draw.
No, I'm saying I think there was a play called up, and Jalen saw that and was like, he kind of audibled to it.
Okay.
That's what I saw.
You just don't think it was the play call?
Yeah, I don't think it was a play call. I think it was more of just an audible, hey,
I saw space.
Yeah, that's what I thought happened.
Well, I will say that kind of changes my opinion. I know we've been kind of critical of Brian Johnson, the Eagles offensive coordinator, but I will say over the past couple of weeks, I like what he's been doing, especially from the offense kind of standpoint. He's been getting Dallas Goedert.
Yes, there you go.
Goddard, well done.
Yeah, I had to emphasize because they always like to give me a little bit of stuff. But Dallas Goedert, he's getting more and more involved each week. We're seeing him a lot more involved in these jailbreak screens. Just getting the short, quick pass out to Dallas and let him take it up the sideline. I think we saw that just to start the game. The first touchdown, really.
Yeah, the first touchdown.
And I don't think I know we can talk about A.J. Brown and his receiving and his abilities, but I don't think his ability to block is talked about enough because there's a couple times where he's just manhandling the person in front of him to get small plays like Dallas and for DeAndre Swift. But I have to give Brian Johnson a little bit of credit right there. And then also, we're starting to see Jalen Hurts more in the empty set a little bit more, just completely alone in the backfield. And what that's just setting up is just DeAndre Swift just getting out, being on the sideline, setting up some man coverage against linebackers. And it's cool to just see us actually utilizing the running back position, not just from running the ball and being a rushing team.
Right. Also, I mean, to have a guy like Jalen Hurts, who is the most dangerous running quarterback in between the tackles, just from it, because we know he's a talented running back, or not a talented quarterback, excuse me, but he's also an incredibly strong guy. That really helps you in those areas. Like, Lamar Jackson is still the best runner at the quarterback position, I think, by a pretty significant margin.
Yeah, I would definitely give that to him.
But I think between the tackles, you know, Jalen Hurts, we've seen doing a bit. He can put his head down. He can go get some yards. And but he's also capable of an explosive play. So, you know, when you're lining up an empty and, you know, what that forces is you got to have five guys outside because they're putting all five skill players on the outside. And you're inevitably taking guys out of the box, and that means you got to have guys over top because, you know, if there's five receivers out in the field, you got to have – you would think you need to have two safeties. You don't want to have, you know, just one high to cover all these guys. So next thing you know, you've got four, maybe five guys in the box, and then – and it's with Jalen Hurts in the backfield and five blockers in front of him. I mean, that's a somewhat dangerous thing to have to decide between as a defense.
Yeah, no.
Personnel.
When you're saying Lamar, I think it goes Lamar, Justin Fields, and then Jalen Hurts for dangerous rushers at the QB position.
Absolutely,
right now.
Yeah.
I would, but like you were saying, I remember going back to training camp when we first got DeAndre Swift. We heard a lot about how dangerous he was lining up, you know, outside the numbers.
Right.
Just being that fourth wide receiver on these sets. So it's nice to see it eventually happen in the regular season. And I think if we just keep continuing this, it's going to be very dangerous. A lot of trick plays, I feel like, could come out of this. Or just, you know, get a linebacker on DeAndre Swift, slant route, wheel route, you know, just even maybe a streak. I'm interested to see what we can build off of with this.
Maybe another Philly somewhere down the line?
Maybe. I'm not saying it.
A little hard to pull it off when Jalen Hurts is the threat and not Nick Foles. But,
yeah, that's a good point.
They're going to keep a guy on Jalen Hurts at all times. Right.
He's got a little bit more attention. But I will say, speaking of Jalen Hurts, you guys are talking about his running ability. But we saw, like, during that game, he was limping out there. Apparently, the reports that he put on a knee brace in the middle of the game. Are you guys concerned about that injury? I know Connor, as an Eagles fan.
So, yes, I'm a little concerned just because he's not 100%, but at the same time, it's Jalen Hurts, and he's going to play through everything.
Right.
And I know
there's a line there, though.
There is a scary line. And I was looking back at it, and I saw this, but I really do think that knee injury came against the Rams. Do y'all remember when he got hit and he kind of, like, I don't want to say stumbled.
It was tweaked. I remember what you're talking about.
I think I have a feeling it was because of that. And just playing each week, I know against the Jets, he didn't look great running the football.
Right.
And then this week, he looked a lot slower than usual and just protected himself more.
Still able to make plays.
Exactly.
He literally has seemed like to be able to – oh, wow. That's really bad. But it seems more recently, he's kind of figured out, like, kind of like that Russell Wilson escapist. Like,
that fourth down play with A.J. Brown
is
what I'm thinking of.
And I just want to say, for someone who relies on rushing and, like, that knee is a big concern, but how about for Jalen Hurts, number 32 – rushing career touchdowns for a quarterback. The most ever in Eagles history, tying, can you guess who? Randall Cunningham.
Yeah.
Last time that happened is actually when they were wearing the Kelly Green jersey. So it's kind of
cool. That is pretty cool.
So isn't that, so what of a weird twist of events
And
there?
I love it was because of the brotherly shove, the most unstoppable play in football history
And that's actually kind of what I was going to go into. The brotherly shove, I think Nick Sirianni had a great quote after the game. He said, every first down is first and nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
first and nine, first and eight, really.
And like you guys were talking about this earlier. It seems like the conversation around the brotherly shove is coming, like people want it to stay. They're starting to see, like you guys mentioned, not everyone can do it.
Yeah, I know at the beginning of the season when we were the only team doing it and we doing it every time, everyone was, it's more like rugby. It shouldn't be in the NFL. It's too overpowered. And then you see all these other teams try and do it, and it's just not the same. I mean, we saw last night with the Vikings and 49ers, Kirk Cousins tried to do it, and Fred Warner leaped over and just made the tackle.
Right.
But you can't do that against Jalen Hurts because of how low they get. Because
he's a freak.
He is a freak.
And that offensive line.
Pause.
Yeah.
That offensive line's amazing just from Kelsey, Dickerson. I'm blanking on the right guard who played last night.
Cam Jurgens.
Well, he was out.
He was out? Was it?
It's like Opelika.
Oh, Sua Opeta.
Oh, Peta. Yeah, I couldn't say that name. Excuse me. But yeah, at one point we saw him run it four times in a row, and that just goes to show, like, that is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
But let's go ahead and talk about the defensive side of the
ball. Yeah, that's the side I want to get into. Man, Jalen Carter, he might be a top five defensive tackle in the league already right now, just the way he's playing.
I don't think that's unfair.
And I think Jordan Davis is not getting enough credit for what he's been doing.
Huge improvement.
Yeah, I mean,
Jordan Davis is a slightly I think their roles are different on the defensive line.
For sure.
Jordan Davis just takes up space and takes up men. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he just gets his hands on people and moves them where in a place that makes it hard for the offensive line to operate. And that combined with Jalen Carter, who's an incredibly skilled and incredibly powerful defensive tackle, but kind of end
he's,
a little bit.
I feel like he's more of an Aaron Donald kind of player, where he can play.
He's
can play
lining
anything.
Up over the guard, but you can put him close to the tackle and he'll still be successful.
Yeah.
He can go pretty much anywhere.
I just want to say earlier in the season, I want to say maybe our third show, I made the comparison of Jalen Carter to Aaron Donald. I think Tanner wasn't too high on that. Have you come around?
Yeah, because
on that?
You compare him to the greatest defensive tackle of all time.
Yeah, but I meant potential. Well, you make a fair point.
So. Okay, so see how fast he drew back on that.
I mean, that's a fair, yeah, okay.
But I don't want to just give credit to the interior because, yes, that was very impressive. But Hassan Reddick looked really good. Josh Sweat still looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. I still can't believe the Panthers gave up Hassan Reddick, man.
Yeah.
He was so clearly good. We should have re-signed him. But
and,
anyway.
You know, the secondary looked great, and – wow, did we just make a big improvement? We'll get to that later, though. We'll get to that later.
Get a little tease right there.
Yeah.
But I just want to say how insane this defense looked against this Miami high-powered offense.
The Eagles secondary really impressed me.
Eli Ricks had a great game. Eli Ricks
really did, which is really cool.
Alabama.
Which is really cool to see Eli Ricks have a good game. But I think something as under the secondary did really did play well. But I think something that's kind of underrated in football is the correlation of like pass rush stats to pass coverage stats. Mm-hmm. When the pass rush is working, it makes the secondary's job really easy.
Tua had no time.
Exactly. And he normally has the quickest time to throw, but I mean, even then, if that pocket starts collapsing faster, maybe it's not necessarily a sack. But if those guards get pushed in a few extra feet, then your base is already off. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. And again, I think investing in the trenches on both sides, which is what the Eagles always kind of have done, but have done very successfully for the past few years, that is a winning formula to NFL football.
And I think you guys pretty much covered everything, but I just want to add one thing. I just want to give credit to Sean Desai.
Sean Desai, back-to-back weeks.
What an amazing performance we were seeing out of him. He's the Eagles defensive coordinator. A huge, in my opinion, huge step up from Jonathan Gannon. I mean, I think I'm going to throw this number out at you guys, and let me just know your opinion. But what we saw last night, the way he kept changing the defense, he kept Miami guessing. He kept Tua on his toes. And just so you guys know, through weeks 1 through 5, the Eagles have only been in cover 2 formation 2.9%.
Wow.
That's crazy. Awesome. Because, I mean, last year, that's all really Gannon ran.
Yeah.
And it really made me upset because, yeah, we wouldn't give up the big plays, but it just felt like every play was 5-6 yards. And it was just annoying.
And that's why I'm saying it's so different, because last night, week 6, during the Dolphins game, the Eagles ran cover 2 34.7% that game alone, tying the highest amount for the NFL teams using cover 2 that week.
Yeah.
So you can just see how Sean Desai, he's not sticking to one thing.
Yeah.
And every first, second, third down, it's completely different on what he's showing. And I think he had one great play where he was showing all blitz, and then it just last minute went to a zone coverage. But just credit to Sean Desai. I just had to get that out.
Before we move on to the next game, I do want to say this one thing. And I think it's going to happen every time when you have a team with just speed and finesse and fancy play calling, all the motion, all stuff like that, and you have another team which is just straight power.
Right.
Yeah. This is always going to happen. I saw something funny earlier today, and this is honestly so true. When you think of these two teams facing off against each other, you have the Dolphins, you think a dance-off. And you have Eagles, you think you're going to go out into a street fight and absolutely pummel somebody.
Right.
And you have all the pretty plays, the Tyreek Hill, the Tua, all the motion, the rollouts,
right,
the zone blocking, and you have the Eagles who just pummel you up front.
Right. The Dolphins were down some playmakers in the secondary. And Xavier Howard and Jalen Ramsey. And again, it did show every time A.J. Brown touched the football.
And not just this game. You can go back and look at their loss to the Bills. Stephon Diggs, he had himself a game when he went up to the secondary.
They need Jalen Ramsey to get back on
and
the field.
Xavier Howard.
And Xavier Howard. But Xavier Howard's been in for most of the season.
Yeah, no,
but
he has.
Okay.
It was just this week I feel like he was
exactly
out.
Exactly. They need the help. Eli Apple cannot be the best cornerback.
And also, just to add to the people that they're missing, Teron, I think I'm saying
Teron Armstead.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does
for also what happened last night.
Yeah, because you saw that they got killed on that O-line. And also, just to say on the Miami's offense, just real quick, Coming into this game, they had 7 yards average for after the catch. Against the Eagles, they only had 2. And another thing I just want to mention, just like we talked about, the way that the Eagles were able to stop the run, at halftime had -7 rushing yards, and by the end of the game, only 45. Wow. It was the lowest output of Mike McDaniel's coaching career since he's taken over.
Wow.
So that just goes to credit on how good that Eagles defense was last night.
Serious defense.
And they just made a huge upgrade.
Oh, yeah. That's a good transition because we're going to talk about that right after we get back from break. You guys are listening to the Student Section on WVUA 90.7.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back. You are listening to the Student Section NFL on WVUA 90.7, The Capstone. I'm Jalen Brooks here with my two co-hosts, Connor and Tanner Thompson. We are about to get back underway with Section B, I guess, pretty much. We're going to talk about the 49ers and the Vikings game.
Yeah.
And so let me just ask you guys, what's your overall? That was a great game.
It was a great game. Right, it was.
Kirk Cousins, man.
He's in his prime.
Shout out Kirk Cousins,
He's been balling this year.
Kirko Chains.
He is without playing, Justin Jefferson.
He's playing amazing. That one, that Jordan Addison.
That Jordan Addison.
That was awesome.
That was
that
crazy.
That guy is not known for being, you know, a ball winner or, you know, just dunking on DBs, but that was a pretty sick play.
That was crazy.
We talked about this last week, and I don't mean to keep bringing up like Eagles names, but he truly does remind me of Devontae Smith. Like the way he plays, his body type, the way he can somewhat go up and get jump balls.
Yeah, he's an incredibly skilled receiver. Yeah. And I think that's what defines Devontae Smith is that, again, there's nothing from a skill perspective that he can't do in the football field as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I really don't think he has a weakness in that department.
And I think you can make the case for Jordan Addison. Like,
absolutely, yeah. I obviously need to see more from him. But,
right.
You know, but at this stage, I think you can definitely say
good start.
That.
What is he?
Great start.
7 touchdowns on the year?
Something like that.
6 or 7.
I'm not quite sure.
It's close. He definitely benefited from playing with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he still had a great night last night. And, you can't knock it that much.
Another thing I want to shout out is just, like, their O-line. They're giving Kirk all that time.
Yes, right. 6 touchdowns.
Six touchdowns. So,
well
good
done.
For him. But
Yeah.
But shout out that O-line for the Vikings. They just gave Kirk so much time in that pocket, especially the left and right tackles, Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw, who won 39 out of 40 snaps against Nick Bosa. I think that's a crazy stat.
That is overlooked.
Reigning deployment.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
So, I just think it's good that he's healthy and he's out there this year because I know they needed him last year and he went down for a little bit. But the left tackle out of Virginia Tech, just making a name for himself.
Let's go, man.
Near my hometown.
Virginia Tech reference.
Let's go, Virginia Tech.
Go Hokies.
But it was honestly a lot. It was more disappointing on the 49ers part than the Vikings part, in my opinion. I mean, yes, you would want to see the 49ers, you know, pull that off. But you don't have Trent Williams. You don't have Debo Samuel.
Yeah,
but at the same time,
you still have a great team.
You have Christian McCaffrey, who is probably the best running back in the league. You still have a great O-line. You have Brandon Ayuk. You have George Kittle. You have – I know they have Ray-Ray McCloud, but let's not say that.
We're talking about Ray-Ray McCloud.
I can't think of any more receivers.
Jennings.
Oh, yeah, Jennings, yes. Yeah. So I'm just saying you're supposed to dunk on this terrible Vikings defense, right?
Yeah.
Brock Purdy looked horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why. I guess it was because of Debo and CMC and George Kittle and the O-line why he was in the MVP.
Yeah, it was that
favorite
scheme.
Odd.
He's in a very good spot as
so,
a quarterback. But
looking at that, I know we were talking about this earlier. How much would y'all give Brock Purdy if you were an NFL GM? For me personally,
I think if I'm the Niners, I'd give him more. I think I'd give him significantly more if I'm a GM of the Niners than any other team in the league by far.
I could say 3 year, $25 million.
3 years, 25. I'd have to, if I knew a little bit better comparatively, what guys, I'd have to compare him to somebody I think he should get paid
with. I would say Jimmy G money.
I was going to say Jimmy G. I think at best, like Derek Carr money.
Yeah. I feel like Derek Carr money is a little too high.
Yeah. Exactly. At best. Mm-hmm. And because he's had good games, he's had 2 bad games, but there have been games where he's been genuinely good just outside of who he's playing around. But yeah, I don't think you go much further. And it's funny to say Jimmy G money because he literally just took over for Jimmy Garoppolo. But yeah, I think that's about the range that I would pay him. And again, I'm actually not sure what those guys get paid right now.
So Jimmy G's contract, if I'm not wrong, isn't it? He gets paid for this year. It's just $24 million.
$24 million this
alone,
year
alone, just this year.
Just this year.
So I was doing the whole market wrong.
I think that's. I figured just because he's a quarterback,
Jimmy
then he'll get
is a 3-year, $72 million.
Okay, so let me redo this because thinking back at it, $25 million is kind of crazy. I would say probably 3-year, $70 million.
Yeah,
3-year, $75 million. Yeah, around that range.
3 years, $25 million felt a little low.
It did feel a little low, but I was trying to be kind of disrespectful on purpose just because of how bad he was.
I mean,
I guess that's fair.
It was a pretty bad game from Brock Purdy, but
yeah.
Bynum looked good though, for the Vikings.
Cam Bynum, yeah, he's made some good plays here and there. He helped out with the CMC fumble, and he caught that game-winning interception.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I just want to go back to your point of, especially about this defense, the 49ers defense. You can see they are missing DeMeco Ryans.
Oh, yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Hey, man, shout out Steve Wilkes, though.
I know. I hate to say
Come
this.
Come on, guys.
Steve Wilkes has not looked great.
But, like, and that's what I was about to say. The things that he's calling for the 49ers reminds me of Jonathan Gannon.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Bend, don't break.
Exactly.
Dude,
it's very soft coverage. There's been barely any pass rush from this defense this year. Nick Bosa doesn't have a sack. Well, he does. He has 2 sacks in the year, I think.
That's even then, though.
Yeah,
it's
still low.
Through 7 games?
Exactly. And then Javon Hargrave, he didn't get any sacks last night. They've been
I forgot Javon Hargrave was on the 49ers.
Exactly. And, like, that's one of their big signings of this past offseason.
Wow.
And I'm just and it's weird when you watch the Niners play because they kind of play like an old-school team. Their D-line is just so upfield,
right,
leaving so many gaps for the run defense. And I don't know. It's it doesn't seem like the 49ers defense that we're accustomed to seeing.
Right.
And I think it starts with Steve Wilkes. And I know that you're the Panthers fan.
A big narrative around Panthers football when, you know, we were looking for a coach last season, a lot of people wanted Steve Wilkes to stay.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think I would have been upset if Steve Wilkes stayed with Carolina. But at the same time, I think I was more happy to have Frank Reich at head coach than Steve Wilkes. Call it experience. Frank Reich is an offensive minded coach, and for me, I think it's more beneficial to have an offensive minded coach in this league right now. I just think they're more successful overall, across the league. But again, a lot of people wanted Steve Wilkes to stay, and I wasn't as high on it. So it's, I guess, somewhat reassuring. Makes me feel a little bit better because people are even now still saying that we should have hired Steve Wilkes. And, I think it's one of those hindsight things where, you know, things aren't exactly going great for the Panthers right now. So it's easy to say, like, oh, if we had hired Steve Wilkes, then we would be doing so much better. But, you know, that's just not how it goes.
Yeah, and I can see why you should hire Steve Wilkes. But I don't – at the time, I was kind of happy for Frank Reich, and I thought that was a good decision.
Yeah.
Because if we look back – you know, in recent NFL history, anytime there's a coach firing and the interim is in place, the team always does much better.
Right.
Just because it's a new guy. It's the same locker room, but new guy, just different way of looking at things.
And even, I think, with Frank Reich passing the torch of play calling off to Thomas Brown, I think that's going to be – I hate to, you know, don't mean to turn this too much to Panthers football. They were on a bye week in their own 6. But I think that is a really good sign because I think Frank Reich is a really – I think he's a really good leader. I think he is good at the head coach. I didn't exactly like him calling plays because I think he's still a little bit too traditional in terms of his play calls. I think him passing the reins to Thomas Brown is a very good sign for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your division, we don't have to talk about that. But
there's not one team we should talk about in the NFC South. And we could talk about the Falcons for bad reasons, but that's really it.
We definitely could talk about that. But I just feel like we could talk just real quick. How about
– please.
If fantasy owners,
don't even get me started.
Just sorry to all the fantasy owners out there that just got absolutely messed up because of that. Like, oh, but anyway, now the NFL is looking into that, so hopefully that won't happen.
I hope they make. I was gonna say, I hope they fine Arthur Smith for $1 million, but his dad like owns FedEx, so he could probably his dad owns FedEx. His brother runs it right now.
So he could probably – that's probably –
isn't that crazy?
Fine. He's fine.
Isn't that crazy, though, that Arthur Smith's dad, like, owns FedEx?
So you just got into football? Like, I'm
not – yeah,
I'm
dude, just a hobby.
He was like, I'll just try it.
Literally just a hobby, and now he's – I remember there was he was interviewing on Pat McAfee, and there was somebody in the background drinking a beer, and he said, oh, yeah, it's my brother. And they figured out later on that that's the guy who literally is the CEO of FedEx right now. And they're like, wow, the CEO of FedEx was just in the background of Arthur Smith's Pat McAfee Zoom interview. But
that's pretty cool. So he goes from – so his family deals with packages and he deals with calling football packages. So that's pretty –
well done, Jalen. Yeah,
thank you. What a connection.
I know he wanted so bad to get that one out.
Just a little bit. I was like, oh, man. This is my prime opportunity. But so let me ask you guys. We saw a lot of good games this weekend. I just want to ask you, what was the most impressive one of the week or one of the biggest losses? Like one of the more unexpected losses
happened? What did he just do, Connor?
He had a brain aneurysm.
Oh, well done.
There we go.
Yeah. See,
so
ever since you've done that, I've just been downhill.
So – if I want to be, like, I could look at different things. I could say biggest win. We could say Eagles because that could have been, what, game of the week, and the Eagles kind of just handled them with ease. But I kind of want to look back at a really bad loss. We could do the same thing with the 49ers, but the Bills.
Wow, yeah.
That Bills game was very, very eye-opening for me, just the whole AFC East in general, how weak it is.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to say how bad the Bills are. But the Bills, I could say the Bills – probably will make it deep into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it's the Bills.
You can't expect much from them because one week they're going to be the greatest team you'll see in 20 years, and the next game they're going to lose to a 1-5 Patriots. So
right. I don't know. I think those games are always – I think Bill Belichick's had the Bills number for decades.
Yeah.
And that plays a role in it.
But they're 4-3 now.
I know. They're 4-3. I'm just talking about this game specifically.
Oh, yeah.
But Bill Belichick has I think he gets underrated since Brady left. But
just
he's
picked
still,
up his 300th win as a head coach.
Wow! And again, do you have to say that? And also, he's constructed elite defenses for years and years and years without fail. Obviously, it's dropped off a little bit. Maybe even that, but he still has had good defenses no matter what.
Yeah.
And you know, didn't the Patriots win a Super Bowl because the Rams dropped three? Or something like that.
Yeah.
I think in that Super Bowl, the Rams, that was like that historic Rams offense when they were putting up unreal numbers all season with Jared Goff at quarterback. But he adopted an entirely new defense. He's adopted the this may be a little bit of a complex reference, but the Vic Fangio cover six, that was a somewhat new thing at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he in 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, transferred that to his team because he knew it would work against the Rams, and he held them to 3 points. I mean, that's unreal. And I think that, you know, same mind still applies to this Bills game, and that, you know, we know this that offense is good, but he knows how to lock down teams, especially when they have obvious weak points. And that's what he did. And also, I don't know, the Bills lost Trey White, Matt Milano. I mean, those are, for the season, those are huge. They're probably two best players on their defense.
But their offense was still terrible.
Right.
And I know what you were saying about the Bill Belichick and the defense and stuff like that, but if you're supposed to be a Super Bowl contending team, you should easily handle this team. Who the Patriots, their offense has been poor this entire season so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Horrible. I know Mac Jones had a great week, one against the Eagles.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's probably been the 30th best QB in the league.
Probably. He's simply not been good.
And he looked like a mini Tom Brady against the Bills.
Yeah. So. I mean, that just speaks to, like Tanner just said, that just speaks to Bill Belichick's greatness.
Yeah.
But speaking of, bad quarterback, you just said bad quarterback, but I'm going to bring up a good quarterback. How about the quarterback, undrafted, Tyler, I can't say his last name, but the Chicago Bears quarterback.
Badgett.
Tyler Badgett. I mean, what a game for the Bears.
I'm not gonna lie to you, man. It makes the Justin Fields narrative really funny.
It really does. It brings a lot of questions. It brings a lot of things into perspective. I mean, and also Deontay Foreman. I know we were just talking about fantasy a little bit.
So underrated.
But yeah,
he was as Derrick Henry's backup in Tennessee. He was still good.
Yeah, he was awesome for the when the season that Christian McCaffrey got traded. So he was, I can't remember how many games that was in. I think it was like four games in, probably. Like
4 or 6.
I think it was 4 to 6 games in where Christian McCaffrey got traded. And Deontay Foreman still had a 1,000-yard season.
Yeah.
After four games of Christian McCaffrey being the starter, who every single game Christian McCaffrey played for the Panthers, he played way too much football. He was on the field almost every snap. There's a reason he was so injury-prone with us.
Mm-hmm.
But Deontay Foreman still had 1,000 yards, man. Like, that is crazy impressive.
It's impressive.
And he's a great running back, man. I really think he is. But
yeah, and I just think that goes to show, like, just what a steal. Like, oh, yeah. What a steal of a game for the Bears. Like, no one kind of saw that coming, I feel like. But right. Then again, it's the Raiders. And we could keep talking about the Raiders issues, but I don't think we have enough time
for
that.
Didn't they have Brian Hoyer playing quarterback?
Yeah, so. They did.
Exactly.
How old is Brian Hoyer?
But also, like,
he's old.
Davante Adams, they used him for, like, the first four plays, I think, and then, like, stopped going to him.
I just want Davante Adams off that team. Yeah, it's just a waste of a talent.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right, man. There's something weird. You're right. There's something weird. I don't know what it is.
I mean, last year I get it with Derek Carr. I mean, you have Hunter Renfrow, who was a Pro Bowler 2 years ago, or last year. I can't remember what year it was, but he's just not getting used at all.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs, who had a great season last year.
Arguably one of the best contract seasons all time.
Yeah, and can't really do anything this year. I don't know if that's just the O-line or just not using him properly anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really interested to see what they do in the draft because they could go in so many different directions.
Honestly, I don't want to see what they can do in the draft because they suck in the draft. I
mean, yeah,
they are terrible in the draft.
They have one of the worst records ever, and they have to win the draft.
Tyree Wilson is not looking too hot. Right,
I forgot he was in the league.
He's definitely. I mean, he's a very raw prospect.
It's gonna be
that
like
was part
raw.
Of his.
It's gonna be like
appeal.
Trayvon Walker. Like
exactly, yeah. And Trayvon Walker, Trayvon Walker honestly had a solid start, but he has been somewhat disappointing the past.
He's calmed down.
He's calmed down. He had a really hot start.
He had really good 2-3 games, and then just dropped.
And again, we knew Tyree Wilson was super raw, so I'm not expecting too much from him this season. But you know, next 2 years, I would say he can become a very special player.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you there.
That's dependent on the Raiders having a good coaching organization, which you cannot depend on.
I was gonna say
Vegas.
I was gonna say, are you expecting him to leave the Raiders?
Yeah, that's kind of necessary to the take I just made.
If Mark Davis can own the Raiders like he does the Las Vegas Aces, the WNBA team, I think they have so much potential.
Shout out the Aces, man.
Good Lord. Shout out to them back to back.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to the New York Liberty who just went just in the lottery for the past couple of years, and now all of a sudden you draft like these generational superstars. And here you go.
Shout out Sabrina
Ionescu,
man. Yeah, I love Sabrina Ionescu.
Kobe's protege.
Yeah.
She's the one that went to Oregon, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Baller, man. Baller.
Just another shout out I just want to give before we move on and take our last break. And then we're going to get to what you want to talk
about. Yes.
I just want to give a shout out to the Ravens, who just absolutely beat down the Lions. I know a lot of us, we talked last week.
My AFC contender, by the way.
Yeah, you're right.
If we remember that.
Yeah. So, early for the season.
Yeah.
But
the Lions were injured, though. So
they were.
So I know they were missing Montgomery and a couple of O-linemen.
38-6.
Oh, I'm not saying that they would have won the game if they weren't healthy.
Maybe they would have made it tighter.
It wouldn't have been 38-6.
Who are they missing on the O-line?
I could have sworn I saw something. Let me.
Well, you go. Well, you double check. I also want to bring up the Steelers. They got I had the Rams kind of making a playoff hunt, and then the Steelers kind of shocked me right here. I mean, first of all, the running back situation. I mean, sorry
tough.
To hear.
It is hard.
I mean, they've just been banged up all season.
Yeah. I have a decent amount to say about the Steelers at some point.
Yeah, go ahead. While Connor's
good call. A lot of people are saying that it is exclusively Matt Canada, and that's just not true. I really just don't think it's true. Kenny Pickett has not been playing good football. I think people, I think it's easier on the mind of a sports fan to put it on a coach or a coordinator because that's somebody who easily filters out. Those are somewhat, I guess they're, I don't want to say they're easier to find, but they seem easier to find in the context of football. But Kenny Pickett, man, don't get me wrong, Matt Canada's designs are not great. But he does have good plays. You know, he steals plays from other teams like every other coordinator in the league does. But Kenny Pickett, he is not of a good processor. He does not read defense as well. Matt Canada, that being said, doesn't give him any motions.
Wait, Tanner.
What's up?
Are you running Matt Canada's burner account?
Unfortunately, I am not. That would be really
I just
funny.
came back because it was Jonah Jackson that was missing.
Jonah Jackson. Okay.
But I kind of zoned out for a sec, and then all I hear is Tanner just giving praise to Matt
Canada.
I'm
not giving praise to Matt Canada.
Yeah, wait, just real quick before we go back to you, let Tanner just finish his point, just real quick.
Sorry. Yeah. So Matt Canada, he is called bad play. A big part of football now is pre-snap motions to help quarterbacks read the defense. The Dolphins are unbelievable at it, for one example. But the Steelers do none of that. None of it. And it doesn't help because Kenny Pickett is not a very He's not a very cerebral quarterback at all right now. And rookie quarterbacks, sophomore quarterbacks now never are, but he's giving him no help. But at the same time, Kenny Pickett is not reading defense as well. He's not been very accurate, which is concerning for a guy who that's pretty much the main reason. He has some escapability, but that's pretty much the main reason.
The reason you draft him. Round.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, this guy went pick 20, and he does not look like a first. I think that will go down as a historically bad quarterback class.
1,000%.
Because the defining members of it are Kenny Pickett and Desmond Ridder.
Malik
right now.
Willis. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, the defining members of it. But yeah. And so I think it's on both of them, but Kenny Pickett has not been playing good football, and the offensive line hasn't been good. So, it's not looking good for the Steelers' future on
offense. But their defense is good.
Their defense is good, and they've kept
them
in games.
Joey Porter has looked good.
Joey Porter's looked good, and that defense has kept them in games. Shout out Mike Tomlin, one of the best to ever do it. But that offense, when the coordinator's bad, the offensive line's bad, and the quarterback is bad, it is not an easy thing to throw up from.
I just want to say Alec Boehm just homered. It's 1-1. All right, continue.
Philly's got a chance.
Get about the Fightins here. The Fightins. Set.
This is an incredibly unprofessional show. Sorry. I just want to say I want to separate myself from these two. I'm a professional analyst.
We got the Phillies playing. I can't help it.
Go it's game Phil. Seven.
Game seven, baby.
Sorry the Braves aren't here, Tanner.
Unprofessional journalism is what you're witnessing right now.
All right, Tanner, go on.
That pretty much finishes my point, though, that it's compounded by a lot of things. It's not exclusively Matt Canada. Fans just want to do that because they don't want to say that it's the quarterback that they just drafted to take over for their franchise, you know, historically good quarterback.
Especially for one of the quarterbacks who were one of the, you know, was like 24, not 24, but like a senior pretty
yeah,
much.
He was
like,
an old guy coming into the league, and he is not good.
Yeah, it's a little concerning on that end. I know, Connor, you just made the point. I mean, Tanner, you just said it, but Connor made the point, like, historically bad maybe will go down as the worst quarterback classes ever.
It's not looking good right now. Yeah. I mean.
What's hilarious, we were saying Kenny Pickett's not really great right now.
Yeah.
But I love how his rookie season, everyone's praising him, how he came in, how great he was. We look back at Johnny Manziel's rookie season, and they basically have identical stats.
That's
and
really
so
funny.
I just find it hilarious how they're praising Kenny Pickett.
It's because Kenny Pickett plays for the Steelers and Johnny Manziel played for the Browns. I think that is a huge part of it.
I think it is. It's part of the narrative.
Browns, historically bad franchise. Yeah. I mean, not like way, 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 way back, but, you know, as long as we've known they've been bad, Steelers are historically good, and I think that plays a big role in the outlook for these guys.
Yeah, but there's some time. Like Connor just mentioned, Malik Willis, he's got his chance maybe next week, and we'll talk
about
why.
They just drafted another quarterback.
I know.
In the third.
One of them's going to have their opportunity.
Mike Vrabel did say Will Levis and Malik Willis will see the field this week. So.
Yeah, so
I don't know, man.
We'll see what happens there. We got a little bit more to talk about on the Tennessee Titans and if they hit the rebuild switch. So, but we'll find out more. You are listening to the student section, WVUA 90.7, The Capstan.
WVUA FM, Tuscaloosa.
We are back with our last section of the student section, NFL. Connor, I know you're super excited for this part, so why don't you go ahead and break down the big trade that just happened for the Eagles.
So,
getting prompted to talk about the Phillies?
The Eagles.
Excuse me? Prompted to talk about the Eagles?
This
may be here for a while,
this
guys.
Is an NFL show, Tanner.
Yeah. Why are you bringing up the Phillies?
Why would I possibly find a way to bring up
okay,
the
so, sorry to cut you off there, Tanner, but...
It's okay, man.
You know, Eagles just... provided a masterclass performance in the secondary and just the whole defense in general, just with how they handled the unstoppable Dolphins offense. And yes, they had missing Teron Armstead. Jalen Waddle got hurt, but he came back. And so, you know, there was really one big weakness on this team. You know, Reed Blankenship was hurt. Justin Evans is hurt. Sidney Brown just came back, and we saw Tyreek Hill. There was a bracketed coverage, and Terrell Edmonds was supposed to come over on Tyreek Hill on that bomb and just got
torched. Pew!
Yeah, absolutely. It was a beautiful ball.
It was beautiful.
It was such a good throw.
So, you know what Howie Roseman does?
He
trades the guy that got burned, Terrell Edmonds, in a fifth-round pick and a sixth-round pick for all-pro safety, Kevin Byard. Wah, 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 wah. Sorry, I didn't throw that.
That did not apply to the situation.
No, not like, wah, wah, wah. Like,
Like, you got the pitches wrong, dude. That's okay.
The horn.
Should we get a soundboard?
I want a soundboard for that.
I can put it in post. Let me put it in post.
Yeah, post. Okay,
cool.
Wait,
give me 5 seconds. In post. I'm going to put it in right here.
Let's have like a second of silence. Yeah.
All right, we're good. So, but, you know, I'm pretty sure I saw he leads at interceptions since 2020, something like that.
Really?
I think so.
That's crazy.
I think that's what I saw. But
I'll double check that, but yeah, keep going.
He's been amazing throughout his career. He's been with Tennessee. He was basically their backbone for the Tennessee defense.
Right.
The last 5 years. And just coming over, him, Darius Slay, James Bradbury, Ed Reed Blankenship, it's going to be a very scary secondary.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was NFL. I think it might have been the Titans. Just
maybe?
The franchise.
Okay.
I don't know if it's – he did lead the NFL for 1 year, but I don't think it was
– That makes sense. I could have sworn – okay, maybe. Maybe you're right.
But I'll keep looking. I mean, but
Jalen, I seem to remember you not being too excited about the signing of Kevin Byard. Do you want to talk about that more?
Because I was very high on this because he was one of my favorite players to watch for the last.
Oh, he was a beast for a while. He isn't having a great season too. Jalen's
the only
point, I guess. But
the only reason
no one on that team is.
I mean, like. I'm not upset at the move. I actually like the move. Like you guys.
Oh, you're not upset at it?
No, I was never.
He was
upset
actually upset until Connor said, "Let's go."
Well, the reason just because I had another player in mind that I kind of wanted. I kind of
wanted Sutton. Not Sutton. What's his name? The safety.
Simmons.
Simmons. Yeah, Simmons.
I was more interested in Justin Simmons.
You just want to disagree with me? Is all.
Yeah.
Right
no.
No.
Not
no,
Simmons.
Tanner,
Simmons.
You're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, yeah. Oh, but yeah, no. Justin Simmons. I just think he's a little bit younger, only by like a year or two, but. And he's just from Virginia, which, as you know, is my hometown. But I was just going to say, I think with the system that the Broncos play, he would just be great in the Philadelphia, Deshaun Desai.
Well, the reason I like Kevin Byard more is because he already has another year on his contract.
Okay.
The Titans already paid off basically all their salaries, so he's a $2 million cap hit for this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so, also, he's 30 years old, so he's a little bit older, but he plays in the box. He's a great tackler. He can play nickel. He can play any safety position.
He's from Philadelphia too.
Yeah, he's from Philadelphia. I know y'all seen the video of him getting the interception against the Dallas Cowboys and pulling the TO, standing on the Dallas Star.
Right.
So I think he just fits Philly because he's from Philly, and he knows what he's gonna walk into.
And I think this is great. The show, like, this is what Howie Roseman does. He doesn't always go for the big flashy player. He just goes for a very low key name.
He's not very low-key, though.
He's on the scene now, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like before the A.J. Brown trade, like, you look at the Darius Slay. Like, Darius Slay wasn't the biggest quarterback names, but, like, you know what I'm saying? He's not like a Jalen Ramsey.
He led the league in pick, what, 2 years before that or a year before that? So probably. I'm pretty sure he was a pretty big name.
Kevin Byard absolutely was, like, a top three safety for a decent amount of time.
Right, but I'm just saying for the most casual fans who, like...
That's fair. That's you could say... Yeah, I mean, yeah for most you casual. Say, you can say a lot of guys are not big names to casual fans. I mean, there's...
I mean, that's a fair point. But that's all I was trying to say. But, I'm happy that we made a trade.
I kind of want to put you on the spot here. When
pull up the receipt.
Yeah, I was the first one to, I guess, see the tweet. So I sent it in the... I sent it in our little radio group chat. And then Jalen Brooks, he said he's been bad this season, for lack of a better word. And then he said, "Am cry." I would like to hear what "am cry" means.
It's when you have water come out your eyes.
So you were crying, is what you were saying, when you traded for Kevin Byard.
A little bit, because it wasn't Justin Simmons. I'm justifying.
So I want to introduce you to a concept called greed, Jalen. So you have a team that already has James Bradbury. It already has Darius Slay Jr. It has the best defensive line in the league. You just beat the Dolphins pretty significantly, and then you were really upset because you didn't get a top three safety in football.
Even though you got a top five safety in football.
I want more.
But what's crazy is, so before that, I was I put on my phone on D&D, so I was like, okay, I'm tired of these notifications, not thinking anything of it. And I swipe up because I think I got a message from my dad or something like, oh, look at this.
Right.
I swipe up and I see your text.
Yeah.
Kevin Byard to the Eagles. I'm like losing my mind. I'm like, oh, my goodness, let's go. I send a text to the group chat and I see Jalen like, wish we got Justin Simmons.
It's so sad.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. I was also upset at the Phillies game, but it's okay. We don't have to talk about
sure,
that.
Dude.
This was before the Phillies game. This was 6 hours before the Phillies game.
Digging deeper and deeper. Oh my gosh.
Guys, you caught me. All right.
How far
I
would have
gotten away if it weren't for you meddling kids. But I just want to say, yeah, you know, I'm just not too sold on like.
What are we doing, Jalen?
I'm trying to justify my reason.
I put him on the spot, so now it's so his opinion has officially changed.
No,
and
my
now
opinion
he
is,
is.
Well, yeah, you guys have talked me into it, and I've done like a little.
Talked you into not liking the decision,
and I've done a little bit more research. I'm sorry, but because I'm sorry that the Tennessee Titans. What do you guys think of the Tennessee Titans? Like, yeah,
they're all collectively bad.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're
that's,
a bad football team.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was ecstatic for it. But like, excuse me. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. So
historically bad performance from Jalen. Yes. In the past 5 minutes.
Well,
but
I just
got to think of this as in the bigger picture.
I also wanted just one more quick
okay,
thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I also wanted someone not on the age of 30 because I just know because one of the reason I say this is because the Eagles, they're not known for like their safety positions. Like they don't draft safeties that well. Like last year was the first time in a while that they drafted a safety.
We've never needed one.
Exactly.
The Eagles also, they don't need to be building for the future. This is a win now team.
Yeah.
Well, I get that. That's also what I'm trying to say. But I'm saying like when you have options like a younger option like Jeremy Chinn.
Jeremy Chinn just got put on IR, didn't he?
Before he got put on IR, I'm also saying like names like maybe like a Chuck Clark or maybe
Chuck Clark.
Jalen is getting dunked on by Connor right now, dude.
I'm just saying.
Oh my god,
a Chuck Clark.
I'm just saying. I just didn't think we were. I didn't even. This is also before when
what
I
is
said
going
that.
On?
This is also before we saw how much we sent over because I thought we definitely sent over a lot more than a fifth and a sixth round pick. To be fair. That's also because I also thought we gave up like maybe like a third or prevent to potential second round pick to the Saints that we got this year.
Okay. So Jalen has finally found a good defense for this.
Okay.
After about four tries, he's found a good reason.
Well,
to
I'm just giving you all my rundowns of my thoughts. Well, hey, way to put me on the blast. But
I love how you said Chuck Clark.
Because in my opinion,
you could have traded the same amount before I knew you could get a trade of fifth and sixth for.
Kevin Byard.
Sorry.
So there you go. So now we know you're a little flustered right now.
Oh my god.
But now I'm saying if you could have just sent like a 6 or a 7 for Chuck Clark, who's losing his job to Kyle Hamilton, well before he's on the Browns now. I'm sorry.
We'll cut this out in
anyway.
Post for
yeah,
you, Jim.
No. Okay. So what I was gonna
it's
say
it's a good move. That's all I'm gonna
Oh, so now it's a good move.
Yeah. It's no Justin Simmons, but it's a good move.
When I first saw Jalen's text, I'm like, really? You can't be happy because we didn't get Justin Simmons? And I'm just sitting here thinking.
I was upset because my team is 0-6 and this guy's complaining about not having the best defense possible.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
You know, we just put on a masterclass. Like I said it again, a masterclass. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Chosen Anderson, stuff like that, right?
Chosen Anderson. We're talking about Chosen Anderson right now?
Yes. We just held them to 80 yards. Like, Tyreek Hill was their leading receiver for 80 yards or something.
Right.
And you go and get Kevin Byard, who I think is a great safety in this league, and you're over here complaining about it when you have Tanner on this bye week, 0-6.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting here looking at you like you get Kevin Byard and you're not happy?
Speaking
when
of,
you already have Darius Slay and James Bradbury in the secondary?
All everybody in our secondary who's like, you know, our best players, like, they're all over 30. That's mostly what I'm saying.
Do you want to ring now or no?
I mean, I do. Don't twist my words.
We have Eli Ricks, so we're good.
I want to ring. But no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, I also like to just look ahead. And, like, in terms of, like, we're definitely win now. Great move, especially for what it took.
We can't be win now and look ahead.
I mean, isn't that what we did?
Yeah, we got to choose.
I mean, no.
Isn't that what we did?
No.
What do you mean?
The same season that like we went 9-8, went for the playoffs. We didn't rebuild. We retooled.
Yeah, we retooled.
Drafted for the
There's
future.
A
right, you were 9-8 though.
Yeah,
no, but that's what
you're
I'm saying.
Not 7-1.
But the year before that, we like were what were we the year before that? Now you guys got me so flustered.
No
that
idea.
Was my point.
We were 14-12, I think. I mean, 4-12, 4-12.
That's what I'm saying. And then, but they still made the playoffs the next year.
It was because of injuries. A lot of like the whole line was injured. O-line was injured.
But I'm saying also we started collecting picks, drafting young talent. That's how we flipped for A.J. Brown. But I'm just saying we started taking all those young picks and building for the future. And then when we were ready to be healthy again, then we have the run that we're on now. All I'm saying is I'm afraid of a repeat of what we just went through when we get too old again and then we're not good anymore. That's why I'm freaking out.
That's part of it, though. That's part of football, man.
But yeah, I get it. Sports. But that's one of the reasons why I'm just like, when there's younger talent out there that I think could potentially be moved, like the safety on the Cardinals.
Buda Baker?
Not Buda Baker, because he's older. But Thompson, I didn't think he would be in a bad option.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
That's I'm just justifying my point, so it doesn't sound like I'm completely that's out fair. My mind. But like, yeah, that's all I meant by that's that. Fair.
But it's
speaking
like,
of, I don't want to get off topic too fast. But speaking of the 0-6 Panthers, I do think we're gonna beat the Texans next week.
Really?
I genuinely do. I think this is the game where we get like finally get a win. The offense looked good against Miami, but we couldn't you know keep up defensively. And but yeah, I think this is where we get our first win. That's my kind of a hot take.
Hot take?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we wager anything on this?
Like, I really don't think there's anything to wager. Well,
do you want to bet live on the air?
We could do
I don't
that.
Even know if it's legal in Alabama.
No, I was going to. No.
Okay. This is how to defeat my Jalen.
Gosh.
I didn't mean to shoot you down that fast, man.
This segment for Jalen is just going downhill.
Yeah.
This is not airing. I won't let it. But, okay. No, I'm just kidding. But obviously, just to wrap up, a lot of big moves, a lot of good games coming on this weekend. I like to say one more thing. I'm surprised that the Tennessee Titans didn't make a trade with the Eagles after what we saw with the A.J. Brown. Basically got that last GM fired, the trade that Howie Roseman did. As soon as A.J. Brown had that game against the Titans, and I think he went for 100-plus yards on something like 3 touchdowns or something, they literally fired John Robinson right after the game.
Wow.
So,
to hire another Eagles fan.
That's why they made another trade, man.
Yeah. So
it's not the same regime, I guess.
It's not. And like you said, now we're going to find out what they have in Malik Willis, Will Levis. What happens to Derrick Henry? What happens to DeAndre Hopkins?
Right.
I personally think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a Chiefs. That's my hot take.
I think D-Hop's a Chief.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think Derrick Henry will be a Raven because it almost seems too fun for the NFL, but that's my hope.
I would love to see Derrick Henry Ravens. That's my
prediction. It would be awesome.
Well, with that being said, I think that concludes our show. Thank you guys all for listening. This is the Student Section NFL on WVUA 90.7.